If you have your Bibles and you want to read along with us this morning, we'll be turning over out of the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I used this scripture, or the Lord wanted us to use this scripture a few weeks ago in revival, talk to a lost and a dying world. It is the vision that Ezekiel had in the book of Ezekiel of a valley that was full of dry bones. I know that you can read this scripture and you can look and see many different ways that the Lord could apply it. But I want us to look this morning in the third verse. God is going to ask Ezekiel a question: can these bones live? And we'll get to the scripture in just a few minutes. But God's going to ask Ezekiel a question: can these bones live? Then if you skip, and we'll read the whole thing in just a few minutes, but you skip down to the 11th verse, God's speaking to Ezekiel and he's saying, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Certainly we could look at this valley of dry bones as those that are lost, that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But when you look at that last portion in the 11th verse, when God is telling Ezekiel these bones are the whole house of Israel, the house of Israel was God's people in the Old Testament. The house of Israel were those that worshiped God, that God had chosen, that had followed God. So if we're going to do a New Testament translation of what the house of Israel is, the house of Israel is today's church. So we look at the message today of being the church. Then we back up to the question that God was going to ask Ezekiel: can these bones live? Any of us that have done any type of social media looking or watched the news or done anything in the last 24 hours, we have to recognize that what has happened in the last 24 hours in the United States of America is horrific. The things that take place not only in the last 24 hours with senseless people of the devil entering into people, giving them thoughts that they can go do these things and kill people. But all over the United States, we have lived to a day and a time in the year 2019 that seemingly everything that's going on is bad. It's evil. Yeah, I guess we could kind of put our heads in the sand a little bit and say, well, that's not right here, Freehold, Georgia. It's not in the North Georgia area. But our children go to school with thousands of people, and I'm going to tell you, and you know this, not all of them were raised like our children were. We go to work with people, with thousands of people all over the world. They wasn't raised in the church, and they don't know God as we know God. As soon as something happens like has happened in the last 24 hours, you can read on social media, you can turn on the news, you can read, and the first thing people want to do is blame somebody else. Well, if somebody else would have done this, if somebody would have said this, and all throughout our nation, everybody wants to blame somebody else. Democrats want to blame Republicans. Republicans want to blame Democrats. It goes on and on and on. We've lived to a day and a time that nobody wants to say, what can I do to make things better? They want to all blame somebody else. So I want to ask you a question that God asked Ezekiel: can these bones live? The question I want to ask you today is, can we as a nation, can we as a state get back to God? You know where it starts? I'm going to be honest with you. I read lots of places this week, thought about and prayed about preaching in God would lead us in a different direction. I got up this morning and looked in the mirror. And God said, this is what I want you to go on. If every single person in the church my people would look in the mirror every single day and say, what can I do to make the place that I live, the place that I work, the place that I go to church, the place that I worship God a better place, what can I do? He said, I can turn this thing around. But it's got to start with us. It's got to start with the church. Can we get back to God? The Bible said, and we'll read 37th chapter, the book of Ezekiel, the first verse. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he answered and said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh come upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost, and we're cut off for our parts. So Ezekiel was looking at the entire house of Israel, God's people. How in the world did they get into shape where Ezekiel would look out and they were all very dry bones? God said that in the 11th verse that they said, our hope is lost. We don't have any hope. Everything that we see, I believe, during this day and time that they were living, that they got so down and out, that they got so consumed of everything that was going around them, that they said, our hope is lost. What good does it do? You ever been there before? You ever got to the shape and point in time in your life that you say, well, things are pretty good in my home. Things are pretty good in my church. Things are pretty good, but I know that outside of my little bubble that I live in, that we live in an evil world. I got bad, bad news. That if we consume ourselves in our little bubble and we say that, well, our church is okay, our homes are okay, that bubble, that evil world starts creeping in to things. It creeps into our schools. It creeps into our workplaces that is there. We live in a very, very evil world. First and foremost of all, because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all sinned and come short of God. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am saved today. That makes me saved and a Christian. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that things don't make sense. Why does bad, bad things happen to innocent, good people? We live in a fallen world. But the Bible said that here the valley was full of dry bones. Their hope was lost. They gave up. They said, what's the use in trying anymore? What in the world can we possibly do? Listen, here at Hightower Church this morning, I'm talking to a group of people that I believe that are on fire for Jesus Christ. I believe here at Hightower that we do all we can to go out into a lost and a dying world. But I'm going to tell you something on the authority of God's world, of God's word. When we look at the church as a whole this morning, when we look at the church as a whole, regardless of religion, regardless of Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever we want to call ourselves, as we as a church are failing in the United States of America to tell a lost and a dying world about Jesus Christ. We are. What us the answer today to our problems. It's not a politician. It's not a law that can be made. The answer is God. I know God. You know God. We can tell people about God. Listen today. There's not a church anywhere. I know that, yeah, we have had a great revival. We had a great Bible school. And I want to encourage us to keep on keeping on, but I also want us to know this, that there is never a place ever that a child of God can look themselves in a mirror and said, I can't do more. We can always do more for the cause of Christ. Always do more. Can these bones live? Or what God's asking us this morning, can we get back to God? You know what Ezekiel answered and said? Thou knowest. In other words, he said this, God, if these bones can live, it'll have to be because you made them live. If we as a nation, if we as a church, if we as a state, a community, if we get on fire for God, it'll have to come through God. Nobody else. The Bible said, God spoke to Ezekiel in this plan, this three-part plan. God's going to tell Ezekiel to preach to these bones, to speak to these bones, is the same formula that'll work in 2019. He said unto me, I want you to prophesy to these bones and say to them that are dry, hear the word of the Lord. What did Amos say? I believe that was in the 8th chapter is going to come in the last days. There won't be a famine of bread, a famine of water, a famine of meat. He said there'll become a famine of hearing the word of God. I believe we've lived to the day and the time that, yeah, we have lived to where there is a famine of hearing the word of God. Any of you that's ever traveled much, and I know that this past summer we've traveled to our vacation destinations, and some probably go to Florida, some to beaches somewhere, some to the mountains. But if you've ever traveled outside of the Southeast, you've ever got out in our nation anywhere, is that we are so blessed here in North Georgia of having such wonderful preachers and pastors that preach the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not like that all over the United States of America. It's not like that where people stand up and proclaim the Word of God. There's a famine of hearing the Word of God. Don't ever take it for granted. But hearing the Word of God just don't come from the preachers. It comes from all of us that's been saved by God's marvelous grace. We all have a testimony. We all have a witness that we can go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. This world is going to ever change. It's got to start with us. First, it's God's children. God's children. Second Chronicles, God told him, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, not the lost people, not the crazy people, not Satan's people, he said, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall turn themselves humble and pray, I'll heal their land. My people. Bible said, he said, you tell them to hear the word of the Lord. After they heard the word of the Lord, he said, I will lay sinews upon them and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, that ye shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Ain't you glad if you're saved this morning that there's no doubt about it? I remember when I was lost without God here at Hightower, 10 years old. Walked down the aisle of the church, bowed down to the altar, and I was saved. And I got up, told everybody I was saved. I was just 10. A lot of you were saved younger than 10. Some of you may be a little bit older than 10. But the vast majority of us was somewhere in our childhood age. I know there's some that's older. I got up and I said that I was saved, and I've been saved ever since. But I'm going to tell you something. As a 10-year-old, salvation to me meant that Jesus had come into my heart, but I knew that that feeling I had that I was going to die and go to a place that was called hell was gone. But as I've got older, I got to tell you something. I like what Jesus said. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. As I know that I'm saved this morning because I bow down in an altar, but the confirmation I get daily in my life because I walk with God, I talk with God, and God does not talk and lead those that are not His. That if you're saved this morning, it ought to be something to get us excited about, something that'll make us want to shout, something that'll make us want to know, because we know that we've been saved by God's marvelous grace. We know it. Listen this morning, this valley of dry bones that were dead, they were dry, they were all dried up. They got in the shape they were in, and you read the Old Testament. You read and you study the Old Testament. It wasn't something that just happened overnight. God sent warning after warning over hundreds of years to the children of Israel. If they did not turn to Him, if they did not seek after Him, He was going to allow bad things to happen to them. Things were going to happen. You know how Satan works in our lives today? Yeah, sometimes he just shows up and he's right there, face to face. Most of the time, it's over a process of time. He'll creep in here and he'll creep in there. He'll work here and he'll work there, and he gets in our lives. Sometimes we don't even recognize it. How do we get back? As we just turn to God. If we will turn it all over to God. The Bible said, no doubt they will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and then there was a noise and a shaking that took place. They had to first hear the word of the Lord. Then after they heard the word of the Lord, there was a noise and a shaking that was taking place. You imagine all of those bones coming together. You imagine the noise that was in that valley as all those bones come together. I think we would all agree this morning that what we need a good dose of in our area that we live in, the world that we live in today, is God's people coming together and a noise being heard. A noise that hadn't been heard since the day of Pentecost. A noise that where God's people would stand up in one voice and say, we are God's children, we know what's right, we know the word of God, and we will not change. That's what we need. Noise. Noise in our community and a noise in our area. People would drive by Hightower Baptist Church. And I know that we do a great job, but as I said before, I have to look at my own self first and say, I can do better. The people that we go to school with, the people that we work with, the people in Freehome, Ducktown, Forsyth County, that they would hear a noise. Something's going on at Hightower Baptist Church. God is there. I want to go see what is going on. Not only here, but all over the land. That the church would be on fire for God. That people would have to come, run and see. You know, I'm satisfied. There's a lot of times I hear a noise and a shaking take place, and I may just show up because everybody else is. Listen, God can draw people in all forms and fashions of different ways to the house of God. But once they get here, what they do with Jesus Christ is the most important thing they'll ever do. Whether they accept Him or they reject Him. A noise. Then the Bible said as the noise took place and they began to come together, there was no breath, there was no life in them. And the last piece was He told Ezekiel, He said, I want you to prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. That the wind would blow breath into them. And there was a wind that began to blow there that day. All those bones begin, spirit begin to come in them and they begin to stand up. The Bible refers to the spirit in many different places as the wind. Nicodemus asked Jesus one time, Jesus described the spirit to Nicodemus like the wind. He said, where it comes from, where it goes, you can't tell. But you can see the evidence of it. The Bible said that I believe in the book of Exodus. One of the instances of where we see a wind that Moses had led the children of Israel all the way out there of bondage in Egypt and led them all the way out to the Red Sea. What did the people start to do? They begin to murmur and say, Moses, why have you brought us out here that we would just die? We were better off being slaves in Egypt. Moses just said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians were coming up behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. God caused a wind to blow across that Red Sea that night. And all those children of Israel walked across on dry land. I love to be in the presence of God. I love to be where God can show me through His Holy Spirit as He moves. I've been in places before in my life that I couldn't go back. I couldn't go forward. I was just stuck. You ever been there? Got a hurdle in front of you. You got something behind you. Satan's coming. What do? You just seek out to God and say, God, I can't do it by myself. God will cause the wind and the Holy Spirit of God to move in your life. And while it looks like something you'll drown in, you can walk across on dry land. Wind blowed all night. They walked across on dry land. The Bible said in another place that the children of Israel, here again, David had went out and defeated the Philistines. Here they come back again to destroy the children of Israel again. Every time he would think the Philistines were defeated, here they come back. He inquired of God, said, God, what should we do? What do you want me to do? He said, you just sit still. Just sit still. Do you hear a sound in the tops of the goings of the mulberry trees? In other words, until you see those mulberry trees start to move, winds start blowing in them. When you see that, you'll know that it's time to go out to battle. Church, today, that Spirit of God's moving in the mulberry trees. Church, today, we see on our news, we see all over our nation that God needs His people to go out to battle for Him. God needs His people to stand up for Him. God has promised that He'll go with us all the way to the end. We'll just hold on to Him. But God needs His people. Spirit's moving. God's moving. David heard that sound in the tops of the going of the mulberry trees, and he stood up and he went out to battle. The Bible said they defeated the Philistines. You can read on over later. Here they come back again. It is a constant battle living in this world. But I'm glad that I know who wins in the end. We do. God wins. We've been saved by His marvelous grace. I'm not here fighting to see who wins. I'm fighting to see if I can get one more person to go with me to that place that's called heaven. There ain't a thing anybody can do in this world. Yeah, we can ask God, but when this world gets turned around, it'll be because God leads it. Because God leads His people. God leads His churches. God leads His families. God leads His leaders. And inspires them with a message to go to the world. Ezekiel prophesied into the wind. The Bible said, as Nicodemus, Jesus described to Nicodemus about the wind. I like to think about it like this. You ever been in church before? Like we were a few minutes ago? Whether it's revival, church service, whatever. All of us in here, pretty much trees. We're just sitting here. You let the Spirit of God start blowing on us and moving us. We become a family, right? You let the Spirit of God move not only here at Hightower, but those of you that's listening this morning on the radio that are saved, those of you wherever you're at, whatever church it is, you let the Spirit of God start moving. Now listen, I know that we've got differences. I know all over the world today, all over our nation today, us as God's people, we don't always see eye to eye on everything. There ain't ever a decision that we make that everybody's going to agree with. But one thing we have to agree with is God is the one that's going to turn it around no matter where we're at. It's going to be God. It's going to be all about God. It's going to be about reaching a lost and a dying world. It's going to be about telling people about Jesus Christ. He's the one. The Bible said that in the 10th verse, Ezekiel prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I think I've said this before here. Not here. I know that I've said it. As we all used to sing that song growing up in church, and our kids still sing it sometime, the Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, or shoot the artillery, but I am in the Lord's Army. You this morning may not ever preach. You may not ever feel led to be a deacon. You may not ever lead the choir. You may not ever, ever, ever stand up and sing a solo in church. You may not teach Sunday school. But if you have been saved by God's marvelous grace, you are in God's army. And God needs every one of us to go out for Him, with Him, to battle. That's how this world's going to change, is if we stand up and we're an exceedingly great army. We go out and fight Satan, telling people about Jesus Christ. But it all starts with the Word of God. The Word of God. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Later on in that first chapter, he said, and the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. What is the Word of God? It is Jesus Christ. We got to share Jesus. We got to share Jesus with a lost and a dying world. We got to share Jesus and let people know that we serve a Savior that wants to be their best friend. We serve a Savior that wants to save their soul. We serve a Savior that wants peace above anything else. Jesus. But then after we've shared that, we got to look at ourselves and we got to have a shaking take place. I'm talking about a noise that would be heard all over the land, a noise that on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, as the disciples were gathered there in the upper room, the Bible said that the Spirit of God was descended on them like a mighty rushing wind. There were people there that thought they were crazy. They thought to themselves, they were drunk. What has happened to them? But then after they got over that noise and that shaking that took place and they listened to the gospel that Peter preached, you know what happened? 5,000 souls were saved. You know, in the outstart, the world may think we're a little crazy. In the outstart, they may think that all of this noise that they hear may be a little crazy. But in the end, if we will stand up for Jesus Christ, they'll come and they'll be saved. That's what it's all about, is reaching a lost and a dying world. Bible said, exceedingly great army. These bones of their whole house of Israel. Or if you'll have it this way, these bones that were dry are the church. And they're an army. They heard the word of the Lord. They shook themselves, caused a noise to be heard. Then they realize in the end, like that old song says, all is vain unless the Holy Spirit of God comes down. We can plant all we want. We can do all that we can. But all is vain unless the Holy Spirit of God comes down. And the Spirit moved on those people on that, and they all stood up. Hope is lost. I like this part, 14th verse, and it says, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live in new place in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, spoken it, and I have performed it, saith the Lord. You know, when this world, and I believe it will, there ain't a doubt in my, I couldn't send my kids to school not hoping and believing and praying and knowing that God is going to turn us around. Do you believe that? Amen. Paul said, if I had hope at all in this world, all of most men would be most miserable. I've got hope that God's going to turn the United States around. He's going to turn our schools around. But I know where I'm going. And I know I've been saved. I've got hope. But I have to look at myself and say, what can I do? What can I do? Where do I start? Where do I go? What am I supposed to do? Hear the word of the Lord. Bible said, we will know when it's all said and done, when it's all we come to the end of life's journey, or when the Lord comes back, we'll know the Lord. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they're not following. I did not get to where I'm at today without me knowing that it was God. Anybody here can raise their hand and say they did anything on their own? Nobody can. But if you ever look back at your life and thought where you would be without God, I'd be miserable. I wouldn't be here. I owe Him all the honor and praise and glory. And if we're going to make it on in our lives, on in our land, then we got to do it with God. What can I do? What can I do? Ron, if you come get a song, if you all stand to your feet. If you're here this morning and you've never ever been saved, you're not part of the army. You're not part of God's army. You're not part of the church. If you've never been saved by God's marvelous grace, in order to be in God's army, in order to be part of God's people, you have to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And once you realize that, that you come to an altar of repentance and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's the only way that you're going to ever defeat Satan. The most important decision you'll ever make is where you're going to spend eternity. But then when you get up in the mornings and you go to school, you go to work, and you see Satan coming at you, is that without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no hope. My hope is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. My hope is anchored in a place that's far better than this. But if the Lord allows me to live till see you tomorrow morning, when I get up, I will go to work knowing that I'm going with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going with me. That I have a Savior. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. Thank you so much this morning for your prayers. Most of all, I want to thank God's Spirit for being in this place. I know in this past week, 2 days ago, that our children started back to school. I know the vast majority of our children were at church camp. But I want us all as a church to pray for our kids in school. They face things that we couldn't imagine. I want us to pray for them. Let's pray for our teachers. We've got so many teachers in this church, bus drivers, administrators, in our schools. And it is worrisome to me when I sit and really think about everything that's going on. But then when I think about what God is and how big God is, and I turn everything over to God, I just got to put my faith and my hope and my trust in Him. He'll wrap His arms of love around my kids and your kids and our teachers and their lives. Put our hope and trust in Him. But then I look at myself and I thank God, You've done so much for my own children, for this church, that I owe Him everything. What can I do? What can I do? The Lord tarries is coming. We live, as I said, in a fallen world. And if you let yourself, you'll get bogged down in it. You'll start worrying about this and you'll start worrying about that. You'll start having all these concerns. Only thing I can do is just tell you to look up. Hang on to God. Trust God. God said we're going to make it. You believe that? Amen. God says it's okay. Put all your hope and faith and trust in God. Hold on to Him with everything that you've got. Don't let yourself become dry. Don't let yourself become so worried that you can't worship God and praise God. Don't let yourself become so bogged down in things of the world that you can't go being a witness for Him and help Him turn the world around. Because that's what He needs, is His army and His people. Anybody got anything anyway?